professional.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Bert.
And I'm going to go ahead and mute you. I'll remind you during our service, if you could, if I didn't just mute you, please mute yourself so we don't get any weird background feedback in there. It is good to see all of you, or to see, in this case, your face it or your names on the Zoom service. It's mostly just names of people, as those up here can see. We're glad that you found our service this morning. We hope that it is a joy and a blessing. I'll turn it over to our liturgist in a moment after I make my quick announcement. He can just roll with it. As you saw this week, and I want to thank those who participated, we sent a survey out through email to you about your comfort level with Zoom as we move into the yellow phase, which we'll be in very shortly, and how you would decide to sort of participate in worship. I have crunched the data on those. That information will be going out to the session tomorrow morning, if not this evening, and then this week you will hear from us as to how we're going to manage the 25 person per building allowance next weekend. Keeping in mind that the Zoom service will still be available, so do not feel as if it is a come or don't be involved situation. My wife is texting me on the Facebook thing. Apparently she's having a hard time finding it, so it's live, but we'll see if she can find it. So anyway, you will be receiving that information shortly, and if you have any questions as we're moving forward, please do not hesitate to reach out to me, call the church, and we will help you through it. If anyone has issues with the Zoom as we progress, session members or myself have got quite comfortable using it, and we would be happy to talk you through it over the phone or in whatever way works best for you. Again, if you have any questions, please let me know.
I got to let Kate. There we go.
Thank you very much, Reverend Derek, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Plains Church on this very bright and sunny, even if you can't, you can see it through your own window, so that still works. On this bright and sunny Sunday morning, and a happy Mother's Day to all you moms and moms-to-be out there. We hope our virtual service is a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. It's also a blessing to have some living persons in the church building with us today, which you'll be seeing over the course of the service. All right, there is a copious number of announcements in your bulletin. We just heard about how we're going to be handling things as we start to finally reopen Butler County in Pennsylvania. You're welcome to review those announcements. Are there any others that we have this morning?
I would just say, in relation to as well as that goes, session members will be meeting in a couple of weeks. And although if all of us are there, we're at 11. I think we'll be able to be back together as a session. But again, if anyone feels they wish to utilize the church's Zoom feature, we will have that available moving forward as an option for folks so that they can be, we want to meet you at your comfort level where you feel safe at. But that's really about it, I think.
Very good. All right. Well, in that case, if you would please join me in the prayer of praise and adoration found in your bulletin. Eternal God, you have called us together to be the hands and feet of Jesus. All around the world, people are waking up, and so bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn, printed in your bulletin, is number 476 in the Pew Bibles, or in the Pew hymn books, if you're here in the church with us. O worship the King, all glorious above.
Power and God's love are
you will please join me in the prayer of confession.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name.
Amen. We are enabled to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, to forgive one another, and to be forgiven because Jesus feeds us with his life, a life given to save us from sin. Hear then the good news. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, take a moment virtually and around the sanctuary for those who are here and offer the peace of Christ to one another. Peace be with you. We'll get you across the room. Thank you.
There's a new one right there. It's right over here.
Pay no attention to the handing off of the bulletins. Our first reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. It is found in your pew Bibles on pages 938 and 939, or of course, if you have a Bible at home. Again, I'll be reading from John 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me, believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This ends the first reading.
So did anyone, young people, see it snow yesterday? That was frustrating, I think is the correct word that we go with. The season of Eastertide teaches us many things. Not the least of which is what the snow was sort of teaching me. As I watched it come down, I would go from room to room through the house, and I'd be working and cleaning or something. I'd look up, and there's snow. And then I'd be looking, and I'd be working, and I wouldn't be paying attention, and it's gone. And back and forth. The season of Eastertide, much like the snow and the hopeful spring that is coming, talks to us about patience. About patience. About the disciples waiting for what Jesus is about to do. For he's told them, just hang out. Just be patient. Before long, something is going to happen. And so I want to encourage you as we get ready, as we start to move toward reopening and what that's going to look like, and as we move back toward a normal, hopeful summer for you guys, to be patient. Things may not look like they're supposed to look with snow in May. I haven't seen that much, although my wife tells me it happens. But God is still with us, and we need to be patient and let it unfold. Will you join me in prayer as we pray and offer our prayer of preparation together? Loving God, we thank you for being with us and for your words from 1 Peter, and we ask that as we listen to those words, that we may take them into our hearts, apply them to our souls in this Easter season as we patiently wait for what is to come. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Indeed, I am reading today from the NRSV translation of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. You will recognize some of these words. These are some phrases that since we were knee-high, we have heard from Peter about who we are as the church. And so I encourage you to listen, to follow along, if you've got your Bible with you, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, found in the Pew Bible on page 1058 and following. Peter says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in me will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful for these your words. And we ask it as we spend time considering them and meditating upon them, that you speak to our hearts and our minds again in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the major challenges that we have faced, and notice I said have faced, as a church living and working in this coronavirus time, relates to our sense of longing, I think. In one form or another, many of you have told me, even as recent as yesterday, that you long to be together physically. The most frequent expression of this idea that I hear are the realities and they relate to the laments that you share with me that we are not able to share a physical space as we wish we could or as we are accustomed to doing. Hugs are not exchanged, backs are not patted. And while I have said this frequently, many times since March 15th, the sense of longing continues to live on. And in many cases, it is unaddressed fully. This is why I think so many of us linger after church on the Zoom meeting or log in extra early before it starts. We long to be together. We miss that sense and practice of belonging, what it represents for us. Acknowledging or accepting this fact, as I've just done with you, does not resolve the issue in our hearts, though. In a little while, we'll turn off the Zoom meeting. I will walk home, and I will still long to be with you after the service is complete. And so, as we come to 1 Peter today, I wonder about that longing. I wonder about what do we long for in a more specific fashion. Or another way to ask the question is maybe when I say that we long to be together, and I'm sure at home you're nodding with me, we long to be together, what am I expressing in the question? The answer is deeper than just stating that I want to shake your hands in the church again or pass the peace with you pew to pew or kneel on the pew and reach back toward you. The answer, I think, relates to a general practice of my faith and your faith. Before, you see, we can be used as living stones, as this text talks about, to build the church, Much like Peter was the rock upon which Jesus built the first church. And before, later in this text, we can affirm that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation who proclaim God's victory and triumphs. The sense of longing that our passage begins with needs our attention. So today I want to focus on how Peter begins our text. We will focus specifically on Peter's words about pure spiritual milk that I began with when I read the text with you, before moving forward into some general applications of this idea. The text and the idea of longing begin in verse 2, right out of the gate as I read it with you. There is something interesting happening in those words, in that use of language. While the Apostle Paul, going throughout the rest of the New Testament, while the Apostle Paul uses this idea of spiritual milk in 1 Corinthians to demonstrate to the church his belief that those Christians, the Christians of Corinth, are not ready for the harder teachings of the faith, Peter uses it differently. He sees things differently. Studying Peter's words leads us towards Jesus' teaching, which is metaphorically referred to here as this pure spiritual milk. Instead of Paul's idea, Peter is using it to tell us this idea. He's using it to tell us to long for Jesus' teachings, crave it, desire it. The word is different, and it's important to begin to understand that. When this idea of longing again was first introduced by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he does so in several times, attributed to books he's written. First in Romans, right out of the gate, Romans 1. Paul, it says, longs to be with and live in solidarity with the Christians in Rome who are suffering. He knows that they suffer there. Likely, he even knows that as he's on his way to them, he too will suffer in a similar fashion. So Paul, when he uses it, longs to regain the physical connection with the church that he writes about in Romans. Paul, again, uses this same deep feeling to crave, to long for when he talks to the Christians in Philippi. Twice in that epistle, Paul wishes he could be reunited with the church and witness the good work that they are doing in Jesus' name. He longs to pay witness to God at work with them. Neither of those sound negative, do they, compared to how he used it in 1 Corinthians? Then Paul used it again at Thessalonica, expressing a longing in a similar fashion. He wants to be with them, as he does later with Timothy. He longs to reconnect after Timothy is not with him anymore, after his arrest and eventual martyrdom that will come, which he knows is on the way. Paul wants to be in that close physical contact, either in Rome, either in Philippi, either in Thessalonica, or just with Timothy. Over and over again, Paul reinforces Peter's idea of longing, of yearning deeply with great affection. Peter then picks up the idea today and continues its usage by telling us not just to long to be together physically, which is good, and which you've affirmed to me, but long, crave, seek for Jesus' teaching, which is not an academic task in Peter's mind. It is more. Peter instructs each of us to yearn for, to crave Jesus' specific words. He does so much in the same way, as I said, as Paul, yearning to be with people together. And so we see that to yearn for spiritual or pure milk is to imply a sense of intimacy between God and us, between God's word and teachings and our hearts, between ourselves and each other as the church. It is to unite with Jesus' words in a deep, passionate, personal way, a bond similar to what mother and child experience while nursing. By doing so, we begin to get at and to address the longing Peter talks about in this text. But our text does not stop by just telling us, long for Jesus, long for his words, or be satisfied with that, knowing that we long to return to something or that we long to learn about it, does not end the work. Rather, the longing that lives in us expresses to us the realization from God that you and I need more. Peter says this in verse 4 when he tells us specifically after we're to long and crave for the spiritual milk, the teaching of Christ, to come to him. In this phrase, Peter teaches us that it is good to long for God's word in our lives. It drives us closer to God. It is right to long to think and to work with Jesus' teaching both in our hearts and to come to terms with it as the church and as individuals. But if that sense of feeling or longing does not lead you toward God and toward the community, we are not fully applying what this passage speaks to us about or what it offers to us. We cannot live fully as the chosen people of God if we're not coming close to God frequently or diligently. Coming to God in Peter's mind is a reverent, dutiful response, the word he uses for it. It is the Christian action that we are living into. When we come to God in this way, in Peter's mind and in his words, we do not do so casually or briefly. Coming to God, much like studying God's word, is a worshipful act, a worshipful decision with consequences that last long in our lives. Much like what Paul will say about producing fruit that is long-lasting, coming to God produces long results in us. Longing, which starts out in the form of craving or desiring, becomes that which brings us to the moment of religious choice to choose to be with God, to choose to seek the needs of the community, chooses to be responsive to what God is telling us as we spend time with that teaching. It helps us learn how God will use us to build both the physical and spiritual kingdom in this world. So we have seen that Peter believes that the church is called to long for pure spiritual milk, that is God's word, Jesus' teaching. That longing is deep. It is reverent. We are told to yearn for God's word, which eventually leads us to the moment of choice. We choose, as we long for God's word, to come to God and to be used for God's glory in the kingdom. And so as we think about this and we move into application for our own lives, it is only right to pause in this moment and to wonder, do you yearn for God's word to be close to God in that way? Everyone in the church affirms that they understand there are special people, that they are special people dedicated to God's service. We all want to be used by God to spread the message, to participate in the ongoing ministry of Jesus. But what about that work is needed? Do we do the work necessary in our private lives, in our daily Christian walks, so that this desire to spend time with the teachings of Jesus, this longing, this craving, can grow and change us in a dynamic way? Does it bring us to the moment that more time we spend in that word to coming closer to God and continually being transformed and remade and reworked? For many of us, the answer is that our faith and our yearning is left to religious services or religious opportunities, and moments when the need is present, and we are called to act and we go. But are we not called as the church to surrender to God, to come to God continually, to meditate upon his word daily, so that the yearnings and cravings of Jesus' teaching can grow in our lives and in ourselves, so that it can change us? I wonder if you yearn for God's word in that way. I wonder if you yearn to be with God in that way. These, if you stop and meditate upon them, this passage that we spent time with today, they are strong words that Peter calls to us and gives us a strong response that we have to go to. I hope that you will continue to take up the challenge and live as this text indicates. You'll long for his word. You'll spend time with it. You'll crave it. And as you do, you will come to God. Choose to come to God and participate in God's ministry moving forward. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be your people today. And we are thankful for the spiritual milk that is given to us, Jesus' teaching. Help each of us to find space and time in our lives to study it, to think upon it, to meditate upon it, so that we may come close to you and respond accordingly. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you, if whether you are with us this morning or at home, to stand as you are able so that we may confess the faith in which we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you stood, you may be seated this morning. We're about to share our joys and concerns together, and I hope that you have had the opportunity to chat those in for those who have them, and I'll be checking them here in a moment. But before we do that, I want to share how God is at work in a message that I received on whatever day May 8th is. What is that, Thursday?
Friday.
I got this message Friday, which might have been don't know what day for him when he sent it to me. It is from those of us in Nepal. It's from Dipendra. He and I email back and forth fairly regularly, and I want you to note, I want you to hear as I share God at work in their lives, in the lives of the folks in Nepal, I want you to hear the tone in which he's saying it. I'm going to read it verbatim, so forgive his choppy English. Pastor Derek, greetings in the name of our Lord. Due to lockdown since 2 months, school has been closed. Now, especially big effects to our private school teachers, having very difficult to maintain their family and their children. He says, I am praying for our staff for 1 month to be able to run the kitchen and feed the children. And this is the important part of God at work. Where he could have said, I am praying you will send me money, he says, I humbly request that you pray for them and God will open a door for us. Appreciate your prayers, brother in Christ, Dipendra. While he could have said something different, and he could have phrased it differently, Dipendra began by simply saying, please pray for us, and we will pray for you. God is at work there, and we will be praying for them in a moment. As I check our joys and concerns this morning, Julie Rocks shared a God at Work story that she sent to us, and I'm just going to read it verbatim to you, so forgive me as I sort of lean into the picture here a bit. She says, my story of how God is at work, I read some of the pastoral thoughts this week about repeating a verse to yourself. She says, she's been struggling with working on our son's behalf for many years, so I chose Isaiah 41:10b. I am a God who will strengthen you, help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. She says, I repeated many times in meditation. A few minutes later, I called my county contacts and reached him. He took care of this need. I have been calling him and leaving him messages, this person, for almost a year. A bit later, I reached out to Social Security and received the answer that I needed. This is not a coincidence. It was living into God's word that day. She says, thank you for your spiritual guidance, and you may share this with everyone. And so we do share that joy this morning of God at work in her life. We have received a number through the chat here, a number of folks just celebrating Mother's Day and asking for a prayer for the mothers in our midst and for those in our lives. The Cardillos sent me a update. They're joyful for the answer to prayer in their daughter Rachel's life. As you recall, Rachel had some important tests coming, And they received good news. She's doing quite well. And so we praise God for that. I spoke with my sister as well as I get ready to ask if there's any more joys and concerns. So you still have a moment to send those in if you do. I spoke with my sister who works
at a nursing home, and she just said, hey, don't forget to pray continually, even though we're beginning to get to that part where we're starting to reopen and things are beginning to happen, to pray for those who are in the medical profession, who are working in nursing homes, who are on the front lines of this, that God's strength will still be with them. And so we will commit those to prayer as well. As I'm not seeing any other joys and concerns today, I'll give you one last opportunity. And if not, we will be the church here in just a moment. Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful to gather together, to be your church. Whether it is physically in the building, whether it is emotionally across the community, whether it is virtually right now, we are thankful to be the church, to spend time with you, to meditate upon your word, to share how you are at work in our lives. We think of our brothers and sisters in Nepal, for Dipendra and Mamata and Suman, as they do the work that you have called them to do there. We pray for strength. We pray for encouragement. We pray for your hand to be upon them. Thank you that they turn to you in their time of need and lean upon you. Watch over them and bless them today as they continue to work through this epidemic, as we here in Cranberry work through it. We lift up the mothers in our community and in our midst, asking you to bless them on this Mother's Day. Although it is not like every other Mother's Day that we have, may it be a special one for each of them. May they sense and feel and receive the love that we, their families, have for them. May they be blessed by your presence and continue to guide us in our lives. We share the joy that the Cardillos reported about their daughter Rachel receiving a good report following some testing. There was anxiety there, and for good reason, and you were present there and provided healing and the report that they needed. Continue to be with Rachel today. And for all of the needs that continue to reside in us, that we did not share together, but we share with you because they are important, we lift them up to you this day, Lord. We trust you to be present in their lives. Continue to guide us and shape us as this church. Draw us into your word so that as we spend time craving your teachings, we may spend time caring for the people around us. And now, Lord, hear us together, your children, as we offer you the first prayer, which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn together this morning is in your packet as well, or in the blue hymnal on page 403. It is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I invite you to stand as you are able.
To carry
Please bow your heads for the blessing. May your love abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus, to the glory and praise of God our Father. Amen. This concludes our virtual service. One prayer concert did come in after the time, which was for Barry Shelley, and we will keep him in our prayers for heart surgery. Go with God. And you're unmuted, so you can jazz up as you want.
It was posted late.
Oh, yeah.
I hit it.
There we go. Blessings, everyone. Good to see everyone. Yes, you can hit that button. Happy Mother's Day, everybody! It's getting darker and darker. They're over to my right, they're kind of heading down, so. Here they come. Here she comes.
We were getting dad down also.
You can come around, Jacob. It's okay. It's just you can say hello to people. It's okay.
Hi.
They just called for you. Now you're in trouble because now they don't want to talk to you. That's what you get.
We hope to hear something in person next week.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
We're hoping so.
There you go. It's good to see everybody.
Yeah.
There she goes.
With the lights on.
Okay.
What happens, Jake, is that I have the audio here. I send this to Tom Money. He posts it on our website on the podcast. If I didn't have it, I could actually send that. I could actually have that. So if, like, let's say you said to me, you know what, I wanted to watch the service, but I wasn't here, I could actually send the file to you, theoretically through email, but it's going to be a huge file, so it may not work.
Right. I need to record it because